I mean it. It is really special. I mean, I've really worked on this for a year. The speakers that said yes and some others who tried to come, and really means a lot just to be here and to take in this both as a host, I suppose, as well as a delegate and audience. For some reason, my sister Lauren decided to come, and she claimed that I stole purple from her, and I did. Lauren, stand up to them and see you. Oh, I just raised your hand. There, show everybody. That's my sister Lauren. Mom, you can stand up. That's my mom. Stand up. She's wearing purple too, yeah. So I just have a fight because Lauren thinks I stole purple from her, and I'm admitting that I actually did. It was your color. You had the purple carpeting. I gave it up to you. But anyway, I'm sorry, but wanted to share that. So I want to, we have some very specific sessions coming right up. The first one is Jack Abramoff is going to come out, and he's going to be interviewed by a friend of mine, and he's coming here for a little bit of redemption. And for that, I want to give everyone here, everyone to keep open ears, and listen carefully, and just see how the dialogue goes. Guys, come on out, please. Give it up.
Hi, my name is Avil. I'm an Israeli journalist, and with me is Jake Abramoff, who, until he was incarcerated and subsequently portrayed by Kevin Spacey, was one of Washington's most powerful, successful, well-connected, and notorious lobbyists. Now he's mostly the latter, however. Let's jump right in. So, Jack, what is it that you do with Gutchen Detergent?
Well, it's a long story, I guess. We just have a couple of minutes. But basically, I, in the course of being a lobbyist and getting mixed into the system in Washington, did things I came to regret, crossed over the very murky lines that exist in Washington, and pushed the envelope beyond what it should have been, and broke the law. And that's what I think.
You know, not only you're saying that people are still doing it, you mentioned murky lines. You knew, you didn't know you were doing something wrong back at the time? Or?
Well, I think the problem in Washington isn't necessarily those things that are illegal. The problem is what's legal in Washington. And 99% of the things that I was involved in, tragically, were legal. And it's what I'm working on now, is trying to make those things illegal, because they make it, basically, they enable lobbyists like I was and others that are there now be able to control our government, be able to control our process, and it's wrong.
We're going to get to that in a minute. What was the highlight of your DC career?
Well, the highlight in the positive sense was the highlight of, when I was a lobbyist, I had a team of 40 lobbyists who worked for me. And Republicans and Democrats, this is a problem on both sides of the aisle. And unfortunately and tragically, we literally could get done anything we wanted to get done. And that's the problem in Washington.
And last question before we're going to get to the afterlife. How was life in prison?
A blast. It's terrible. Prison is hard. At any prison, any level of prison, anytime your freedom is taken away, anytime your dignity is taken away, anytime you're stripped of everything that you have and that you think you are, no matter who you are, and no matter what you did, it's horrible. And too many people are incarcerated in America. America has more people in prison than any country in the world, even per capita ones. And it's a real tragedy, and it's unfortunate, and it's terrible for me as well.
And for the family, I'm sure.
It couldn't have been worse for the family. It's worse on the families than it is on the inmates.
So someone who meets you right now, assuming they don't know who you are, how do you introduce yourself?
Well, I don't have a business card, but I guess I could put on their felon or something.
I'm not sure.
I'm a former Washington lobbyist who I think has seen a lot. Unfortunately, it took me getting kicked into the gutter and having my head cut off to see the light. Now what I'm trying to do is work to repair the system that unfortunately governs the country, because it benefits the special interests and the elite and very few. And it hurts everybody.
So how is that done? How do people, lobbyists, game the system?
Well, the system, unfortunately, is run by money. Lobbyists use money for access and to enhance their access, and then they make their case based on, sometimes on the barracks. But people are able to use funding in Washington through a variety of methods, whether it's taking people to ball games and buying them dinner, or it's primarily for big campaign contributions. And they're able to impact the legislative process in ways that are unfair. The average citizen can't compete with it.
So how are you working every day since you wrote your book to actually change what's going on?
Well, first thing I'm trying to do is let people know that it's far worse than they think it is. I think that lobbyists and special interests in Washington rely on the fact that Americans are ADD, and Americans go back to sleep, and Americans don't really want to, you know, at the end of the day, willing to spend the effort to really reform the system. And so they put forward reform bills in Washington that actually don't get things done. And they pat each other on the back, and they let sort of steam out of the process, you know, the pressure out a little bit. And what I'm trying to do is to say that all of those efforts are feckless, all of those efforts are useless. What needs to be done is a systemic change to remove money from the political process in a way that's significant so that the special interests cannot continue to buy our government.
So you just go around and talk to people, you give speeches,
and I'm working together with coalition groups, and we're actually at this moment drafting legislation, serious legislation. It came to me, frankly, to do this and to get involved in this. To be honest with you, when I went to prison, my goal was to just go away and to disappear and not to subject myself to what had been, at that point, 6 years of attacks in the media, but instead to go away. And while in prison, I rethought that and thought, you know, I know certain things, I've experienced things that I regret, I did experience them, and I know what angers lobbyists and what angers special interests. So while walking the running track in prison, I made a list of those things, put them in my book, and we're now busy making them into legislation.
You're basically going on, speaking to people. In other words, you're lobbying for your cause. That's the who's the easiest to bribe or influence? Is it congressmen? Is it senators? Mayor, governor?
Yes.
All of them. So what drives that corruption? Money, wanting to be influential, power, ego?
It's from their perspective, it's like the proverbial frog in a pot of water. Mm-hmm. When they come to Washington or they come into office, they basically claim nobody's going to bribe me, nobody's going to influence me, I'm going to be pure, and everything like that. And slowly over time, they develop relationships based on social interaction. They all proclaim nobody's going to buy my vote for a $2,000 contribution. The truth is, at the end of the day, lobbyists are buying their vote for a cup of coffee, let alone a $2,000 contribution.
So, in that sense, I guess, and you've been working on it since you got out of prison, a year from this date, do you think any significant change will happen, whether we have a Republican or a Democrat in office?
This isn't about a Republican or a Democrat, because both parties are the same. In this regard, it was just as easy, frankly, more easy for us to impact the opposite political party. I was a Republican. Both parties are fault. What we're doing specifically is this. We're drafting very precise legislation that will solve the problem, not be a marginal impact situation, but solve the problem. Number two, we're going to get members to form a pact with their voters that they will support this. They will not have bribery in politics. They will close the revolving door. They will stop seeking benefits that the rest of us don't have. They will stop the super PACs from being coordinated campaign appendages and on, closing every loophole, defining who a lobbyist really is. Frankly, at the end of the day, people claim they're not lobbyists. They claim they're strategic advisors. They claim he's a history professor. Whatever they're claiming is incorrect. We need to close all these loopholes. Then getting members to support this, getting candidates to also support this, so that when they get into Congress, they are required to put their name on it and vote for it. That is the campaign we're working on right now. There are a lot of groups that are going to be involved in this, and I encourage everybody who's listening, everybody on Twitter, everybody to watch out for this. You're going to be seeing it within a couple months. Get behind it. Let's fix our system. We can do it. It's not going to be about Romney or Obama doing it. They won't do it. It's not going to be about the Congress doing it. Unless they're forced to do it, they won't do it. American people have got to force them. I'm telling you as a former lobbyist, as somebody who was in there, that can happen. There's a method to do it. We're creating, we need to get involved.
We've got 20 seconds left. So really, at the core of your being right now, had you been able to revert and go back, would you start like this, or would you still would have gone through the course that you went through in order to get to this point?
Well, obviously, if I could pick it, I wouldn't have gone through the path I chose, but I did. I can't unring the bell. Now, what I'm trying to do is make something positive from a lot of bad lemons. I want to try to see if we make a little one.